Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
Testing.
Get it together, ladies. Get it together.
Sorry, Mom.
Where's my wine?
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, your head hussy in charge. Welcome to season 3. We're kicking things off with the third time's a charm theme. And in keeping with that, we will be covering A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas. And we'll have 3 speakers today total, myself, Lisa, and Heather. You get John Cena music. So,
oh my God.
Wait.
We were quiet.
You
guys were dying inside.
Yes, we were. This is very hard over here to be quiet.
All right. We got this. So I'm going to go ahead and apologize for the chaos that is about to ensue, that has already happened, and will be happening further. Alright, the 3 of us are in the same space at the same time, talking about the same book, and we've had lots of wine. And Heather has also had lots of vodka.
Vodka happened.
Yes.
Mixed a lot of things.
Oy.
She mixed. She's gonna die later.
Regrets.
It's fine. Buckle up, buttercups. So, I don't know if the listeners are aware, you can follow on Spotify, and you can actually rate on Spotify. You can't review yet, I feel like that's coming, but you can definitely review on Apple Podcasts. So go ahead and do that if you stuck with us through the first 2 seasons. Let me know how I'm doing. Bad. It's fine.
Holy.
Girl!
So rate and review on all the platforms, show us some love, give me some feedback, maybe suggestions for books we want to cover, or books you want us to cover. Also, there's a podcast TikTok and an Instagram. TikTok has some pickled pondering reviews and some fun content, and the Instagram has all the sip and snacks, other fun content, and if anything were to happen, like I hurt my wrist and cannot edit or air episodes for several weeks, you will hear about it on the Instagram first. If you're not following those already, you should definitely go do that. All right. Speaking of drinks and being drunk.
No, we're not.
Who's drunk?
You're
not it.
No.
I am the only adult here. Okay. So we each picked a wine for...
I totally picked my wine. All by myself.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
We picked Lisa's wine for her.
They did good.
Heather and I went to ABC, and we made a friend. Shout out to Sherry at ABC.
Woo-hoo.
Love ya.
Hey, Sherry.
We went to her and said, one thing, they have to be in fancy bottles.
Yes. Lisa, tell us about your wine.
My wine has 8 levels of deliciousness because it has 8 tentacles. Because it's an octopus wine! What's that really made from an octopus? But it's called Octopoda. Mm-hmm. It's very delightful. It's dry, but sweet. I like it.
And it's a red, right?
Yes. It's a Pinot Noir.
Ooh.
Pinot Noir.
All right, Heather. Heather, what do you got? What do you got in your cup over there?
What does she have in her cup over there?
First of all, how dare you? No, I went with the fancy bottle rule is where I stopped. The Faubourg Prestige Brut. It is dry as fuck, so I added orange juice. So, there you go.
So, mimosa.
A mimosa. No. Don't drink this shit straight. It's dry.
Don't buy shit in fancy bottles.
Don't just buy it because it's in a shiny golden bottle.
It's a lie.
Okay. It's a lie.
Alright, so we actually, I guess I should preface this. We, reading these books, this is the 3rd book in the series, I've never seen, like, a specific cocktail or anything. They just always drink wine out of fancy bottles. Mm-hmm. So we went and found some wine in fancy bottles.
That was my only rule for picking a drink for this book.
Accurate.
And then I went with, of course, you know, season three, three guests, third time's a charm. Obviously, I had to go with Ménage à Trois. It is the Dolce Sweet Red Blend. Literally tastes like fruit juice.
It is very sweet.
So I will be passed out by the end of this episode.
I hope we make it to the end.
Cheers. We'll see. Cheers to that. Make it to the end. No. Oh, yeah. Don't leave you out. Oh, all God. Are included. Don't break my glasses. Just kidding. It's for the dollar glass.
Hercules. Those are the sips. And for the snack, we demolished two different charcuterie boards, which I will post a photo of said destruction when this episode launches.
It's the before and after.
It's the before and after.
Yes, I will launch the before. I will launch the before and after.
The other was destroyed.
I was so hungry.
Yes. Okay. This is the third go-round with Sarah J. Maas. She's a bestseller, has a few other series, etc. What I would like to bring up is some of the controversy surrounding this author in particular. I was unaware of these issues until recently, so I wanted to give anyone else that might not know a heads up, and to let everyone know that this will probably be the last SJM book I will be covering on the pod. And it's fine if you disagree. I'm not judging you. I just wanted to address it. Just I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I figured there might be a lot of other people that aren't aware of it either. And now that I am aware of it, I'm just a little uncomfy about it. And mm-hmm. It doesn't really feel right to me. Out of all of the fantasy romance we could be covering, that we're going to cover one in particular that is a bit problematic. Mm-hmm. So... And it's fine. If you want to keep reading the series, you want to read all her other books, awesome, cool, you do you. There is no judgment on this end. I am just personally, from my perspective, I'm just throwing it out there. I didn't want to just drop it off the face of the pod and then not never mention it again. Mm-hmm. So, first off, this happened a few years ago. The author made an Instagram post discussing Breonna Taylor's death, and it seemed like she was trying to hype people up to go vote. It was around election time, and she was trying to hype everyone up to go vote and take part in things. And Breonna Taylor was mentioned. And at the end of the post, she mentioned like her new book cover or something, which do I believe it was done with malicious intent? Probably not, but I don't know. I don't speak for her. What I do know is that members of the different communities had come forward politely and requested that she remove it, or they tried to educate her on why that would be hurtful or offensive to them. And she did not apologize, and the post is still sitting up there. And I just feel, pretty messed up. In my opinion, mm-hmm. I think that's kind of messed up.
Maybe her intention of plugging her book and what she meant to do with that post could have been separated.
Yes.
So,
agreed.
It's not necessarily a good look, and when people pointed it out on that they have a problem with it, she could have addressed it better, I think.
It wasn't addressed at all. That's the problem.
So, whatever her original intent was, it has been misconstrued because of her following actions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, at least apologize. Come on.
Right.
And it's not, and I'm not saying, oh, they went in and attacked her, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure some people did, but I went on and looked it up, and I saw that there were several people that were very polite about it, and, you know, very nice about it, mm-hmm. and they just, you know, made simple requests and tried to explain to her why that would be offensive. So they were trying to have a teaching moment, and it was just ignored. Yeah. And it's just, at the bare minimum, it was an extremely poor taste. And then, I know there's been talk. I haven't read the Throne of Glass series, but there has been talk that I've heard here and there that there's a bit of tokenism going on. I don't know. I didn't read those books, but I wouldn't be surprised. But really, third and lastly, which we will get into later in this episode, is how she greatly misrepresented a chunk, an entire chunk of the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
I'm not even a part of that community, and I was offended. And
yeah.
I don't really have a say, necessarily. I'm not the one being targeted. And so I would not know how that would feel to be the target of that. So I try to keep that in mind. Mm. So we'll get into it.
Yeah, we
will. All right. Who would like to go first with their summary?
I can go so that we set the bar really low.
Stop.
I would like to go on the record and say I did not do the homework assignment.
Shock and awe.
I know. Listen, I finished this morning, okay? And I was at work all day. So whatever. I procrastinated like I always do.
Oh, I guess we should let the listeners know. I read this book back in September of last year. Lisa finished it
this morning.
And Heather, when did you read this?
I finished it out 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So we're at varying degrees.
Different levels of remembering.
There will be very different levels of remembrance.
Yes. So
mine will still probably be the worst.
Because you didn't do the homework.
Exactly. I got nothing to go on. It's fine. So my summary is that we're coming out of the last book where Feyre's sisters were thrown in a cauldron and shit hit the fan and they got whisked away and Feyre went back with Tamlin and now there's a big fat war because, oh my god, I want to call it Hyperion, but that's wrong. Highburn.
Highburn
wants to break the wall. A lot of the other Fae do not, so they're rallying together. There are so many battles, infighting and big battles. And then everything is resolved, and I feel like it could end, but apparently it does not.
Like, there is another book.
It does not. There are many more books.
But I felt like this could have been a great ending. We broke the wall, we're all going to work together with the humans, and we can just use our imaginations to figure out what happened.
So it's because Nesta and Cassian are going to get their story, Elaine and whoever the fuck she ends up with, and then Azriel, Lucien, and now they're trying to fucking redeem what's-his-tits tampon.
Oh.
It's going to be a whole fucking thing. So it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't want to read that shit anyway, bye.
I want to read Nesta's story, and then I could be done with this shit.
That's the whole reason I started this thing.
This is why I'm still here.
Yeah. After Nesta, I'm done. I am done.
I could quit with you.
Okay, let's quit together.
Okay.
Ashley, are you jumping off that ledge with us?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, unless Elaine has any kind of little extra character development.
I mean, she was.
She killed the king.
But who went in there and cranked that knife across?
Our girl Nesta. Yeah, Nesta's bae.
And Cassian.
All right.
Okay, there you go.
So that's your summary.
Short and sweet.
Shall I do it?
Yes.
Summary?
All right. She's been holding this close to the chest. I'm excited.
She's ready.
Lean in so they can hear you.
A fae high lady, her mate, and their band of merry idjits coerce another group of idjits to fight a whiny toddler over their favorite toys, humans.
Accurate.
Yeah.
Pretty close. Oh, Ashley, how would you summarize this book?
A lot. That's the first thing that came to mind when I sat down to do this, you know.
It's a lot.
Back in September of 2022. All right, so. After Feyre and Rhysand's HEA was ruined at the end of A Court of Mist and Fury, Feyre is undercover pretending to be the powerless female Tampon wants, while Loki turning his court against him. She returns to Valaris, and everyone is again suffering from PTSD and prepping for war.
Whoa, nice.
That's a good one. Very good. Snaps for Ashley.
Oh, so I just realized I probably got rid of those quotes because they're like, you know, like half a year ago when I had them.
Sorry.
All right, so they're gone. They're lost in the ether. Lisa, what quotes you got for me?
Okay, so the first one that I have, okay, y'all have to check me, because again, I'm the one that finished it most recently, but I don't remember. The Bone Carver told Feyre to leave this world a better place than how you found it.
No.
Do you have it written down?
It was a cereal.
Oh, it's a cereal. Oh my gosh. Okay, sorry.
one.
So edit that so I sound smart. The cereal fed to Vera.
I'm getting threatened by Heather if I take that out.
Leave this world a better place than you found it. And I think that is something that could also be my, what did you learn from this? So we'll double that. Sorry, you're going to get it twice.
We'll circle back.
Oh, look at Heather's even finding it in the fucking book. What a nerd. Anyways, the other thing that I liked was when they said, I believe everything happens for a reason, whether it is decided by the mother or the cauldron or some tapestry of fate. I don't know. I like that. And one of my new favorite Death Cab for Cutie songs talks about, I want to know, what is it? It talks about something, but it's like God or whatever. Like, whatever you believe. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I just like that. Like, that when he said it, it wasn't, because they have their religion, you know, the cauldron and the mother, but they also talk about how it could be fate or it could be whatever. I don't know. It just spoke to me because I don't necessarily know what I believe in. But, like, I think that everyone has a right to believe whatever they want to believe. Mm-hmm. And I have no right to say what's right or wrong. So I liked that when they talked about it, it was whatever. So I don't know. That I like that. And then I will say, the last one, sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm just
kidding. I've been watching a lot of Friday Night Lights recently. Oh, and Rhysand's, like, a motivational speech before they went to battle was good. I feel like he just needed to say, clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, or whatever it was. Oh my god. And I was like, oh my god, are you Coach Eric Taylor? Like, it's his Friday Night Lights, but it was a good...
Good pep talk, good speech.
Good speech, guys. All right, Heather, I rambled for a long time. You should be ready.
You should have plenty of time.
So there's one part where Lucien finally realizes his side in the war, right? Mm-hmm. And him and Feyre are with Rhysand in his court, and he has this, like, moment where he tells her, I didn't realize I was the villain in your story. Mm-hmm. And that really, like, it impacted me a lot because, first of all, Feyre didn't really know what was going on with Tamlin. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Lucien, as his second, also did not know. Yeah. So he felt that he was doing what he could by, you know, to serve his High Lord. And when he's seeing the other side, when he's seeing Rhysand in his court, he didn't realize that he was a villain in people's stories. He didn't realize that Rhysand was not the enemy. Mm-hmm. So that one was big.
I feel like Lucien is so underrated.
He is.
I love him.
He disappears for so much of this book.
I know.
We're going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that later. Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about him later.
We are.
Elaine. Fucking bitch. Okay.
Elaine. Two crows are coming.
Beat your ass for being a bitch to Lucien. Let me start it on Elaine.
So, the other one I liked is when Amarin is talking to Nesta, and Nesta's like the volcano you know is waiting to erupt.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, when you erupt, girl, make sure it is felt across worlds.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, and I wanted to read Nesta's story before that, but that just, like, I have to read Nesta's story before I quit this series.
Ashley, do you have any favorite quotes?
Absolutely not. Moving on.
Okay.
All right. She has zero quotes.
No,
where were you? Pay attention.
Lisa, what was your favorite part?
Well, there are two things that I really like. One is related to the actual story, and then one is how I consume the story. First, we'll talk about how I consumed the story. I listened to the audio, but I didn't listen to just the audio book. I listened to, Heather, what is it called?
It's the graphic audio full cast version.
Yes. And it has sound effects. So when they're in battle, you hear swords clanging. And if they're flying, there's wing flapping sounds. Or if they're walking, there's feet crunching, and it's just a very immersive experience, and I have not listened to a book like that in a very long time, and I forgot how much I enjoyed that, and I think I like this book so much more because of how I experienced it. So I really liked that. So if you are an audiobook person, if you can find that full cast audio production with the sound effects, it's great, and it's a few hours shorter than the actual audiobook. So
oh, nice.
I think the actual audio is 25 hours, and the graphic is broken down into three sections, and they're like six-ish hours each.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that I liked about this book is the other creatures. The Bone Carver, the Weaver, the, what is his name? Biloxi Bacalac. Box of Tricks.
Braxis.
Braxis.
That guy, Braxis. All these, and even Amarin, these otherworldly creatures that are part of this world. I would like to read a book that has their stories, like of the Weaver, the story of the Bone Carver. I like this lore and this kind of mythology that comes along with them. I like that it wasn't just fey and human. There were these other worldly characters that were very interesting to me. So I think that was one of my favorite parts, is these supporting characters.
I like the, Amarin especially. Mm-hmm. They really started to focus on her past a bit more. Mm-hmm. It was very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
What is your favorite part, Heather?
I have several favorite parts. One of those is, when we started the series with ACOTAR, there was, like, the Beauty and the Beast vibe with Feyre and Tamlin. But I went through the second book, kind of, maybe I missed it and I'll have to go back. But in the third book, there's more fairy tale vibe with, like, the Sleeping Beauty, where Feyre has gone back to the Spring Court, and there's the rose vines, and they've, like, developed these thorns, and they've made her room inhabitable. Like, with Sleeping Beauty, when she's fallen into her sleep, there's the vines and the thorns that keep people away from it. But there's also the Snow White vibes, the mirror, and the Ouroboros.
Oh, yeah.
And Feyre has to get the Ouroboros, and that's part of her deal with the Bone Carver. So, fairy tale aspect of that, which I liked a lot. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I liked was the showdowns between Feyre and Ianthe. Ianthe, like, she's my favorite villain to hate.
Man, fuck that bitch.
But it's like, but at the same time, like, you don't want to hate her because she's a female in power. Like, she's, you know, she's in this world of high lords, and she has a lot of power over what's happening in the Fae world, but especially during the summer solstice ceremony, when Ianthe has this big moment at the summer solstice where the sun's going to shine on her, and it's going to be this all-powerful, like, oh, the cauldron, like, whatever, but Feyre steals that, and she takes that power, and they're like, oh, curse breaker, spell breaker, and they're like all whispering about Feyre now. I like that she turned the power around on her, but also when Ianthe comes back at her and she's in the middle and she leaves her mate and her court and she goes off on her own, which, you know, has repercussions, but she goes off on her own and she leads Ianthe straight to the Weaver. And she's like, who did you bring me?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Dinner.
This bitch right here.
I brought you a tasty snack.
Dinner.
So good. That was so good.
I think I was actually at work listening to this, and I'm just like, I silently am cheering on my desk like, yes!
Yeah.
It was such a good moment because it's like, Ianthe has fucked with her so much at this point. And like, she was gaslighting her in the second book, and I was like, this is the moment. Feyre gets it over her. I'm like, yes. And then later she goes on to use the circlet, like her blue, like, stone against her. I'm like, yes. This.
Sucks to suck.
It was, those were probably my favorite, like, I was cheering out loud moments for that. I loved that a lot. That was me. What do you think, Ashley? What were your favorite parts?
The return of Sassy. Is it Lucien or Lucien?
I feel like in the graphic audio, they call him Lucien.
Lucien. See, I thought you called him Lucien before, but I keep reading it as Lucien. It's a me thing.
I said it's a spelling thing.
Whatever you want to call him.
They throw the E in there, I think, is a problem.
I'm the problem. It's me.
Oh, Taylor. Hey, girl.
I mean, we all know at this point, we're three seasons in now. If you don't realize I'm bad at pronouncing shit, who are you? Where have you been? All right. So, return of Sassy Lucien. Love that. Because he was gone, like, the whole second book. And it made me kind of sad. Like, I don't know why. Like, I really like him. I feel like he's an extremely underrated character. And he could be utilized much more. And he started to be utilized a lot more in this book. And I would hope that would continue in future books. And, fuck Elaine, he deserves better.
Yeah.
All right. And,
she went there.
I said what she I did. Said.
She said what she said. That's fine. He's so underrated. And, like, he's a gem. Like, he's just a good, like, he's a good person. Like, you get, he's just a good
Wait,
person.
Wait, don't we find out his dad isn't who he thought
it
was?
Oh my god, it's the other guy!
Wait, did I put that somewhere?
Hamlin Heinrich, who is it? It's the guy that, like,
Hillary's son! He's not Baron's son! No. I literally wrote, yay!
Yes.
Hell yeah.
I was
Wait,
so
okay,
excited.
What's his brother, brother's name?
Aris? No, Aris.
Assis?
Well, he's an ass.
He's an ass.
They're all assholes.
Aris the asshole. Aris,
that too.
You know, there's theories that him and Asriel are mates.
No, that's
What?
Enough.
No. Get out of here.
No, I buy it. I see it.
Really?
I don't want it necessarily, but I see it.
Asriel deserves better.
But Aris is the son of Baron that doesn't necessarily torture Lucien for reasons.
All right. Feyre had some serious bad bitch fuck around and find out energy going on.
Yes, she did.
Here, what was it? I have here, it's a note, it says meeting, sending Bog after twins.
Oh, yeah.
What, I don't
she
remember.
She sent the Bog. Didn't she send the, no.
Meeting, sending Bog.
She sent the Bog after
those weren't
someone.
The twins. The twins from a different court or something.
Oh, God.
And they were trying Flagging to torture.
Flagon and Dragon. Or
were they trying Were they trying to torture humans? And
yes.
She sent the Bog after
them. The people,
them?
The follower people, the children of the whatever.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were looking through the wall, and they're like, and she's like, leave them alone. And they're like, yeah, sure, sure. And then later they circled back. Those were the fucking menaces that Durian brought, his little henchmen.
And then
and
she
women.
Sent the Bog after him and
yes.
fucked them up.
Hell yeah. Find it. Give me a second.
Yeah.
And then Feyre destroying Ianthe's hand for being a rapey piece of shit.
Yes!
Oh my gosh.
Well deserved.
Yes!
Thank you.
Pretty fucking intense.
Deserved it.
Yeah.
Children of the Blessed.
Children of the Blessed. The cult.
Yeah.
Yes, the cult.
They're little followers. What were the twins' names? Flagon and Dragon? Daglin and Branna. Close enough. Flagon and Daglin. Whatever.
Dingle and Dongle.
Dingle and Branna.
Close enough. It's fine.
All right.
Yes. Feyre's bad bitch energy.
Same diff. Okay. The Weaver, the Bone Carver, and Braxis showing up to fight.
Yes!
That, okay. I will say, like, she can write a fucking battle. I will say.
Yeah.
She can write a fucking battle.
I'll give her that.
And everyone showing up.
Just the MVP showing up out of nowhere. It's like, hell yeah. And just fucking wrecking everyone's shit.
That war, the whole, like, everyone showing up just deserves its own moment.
It was really good. Yeah, I guess, So, favorite part.
Even in Draken and, Window. What's her name? Miriam. Miriam.
But like,
I was this close to spitting wine all over my lap.
And then we'd be done here.
And like the dad showed up and having dad issues.
With Lucien, who's like been gone the whole time. Like every ship fucking sailed in. I'm like, okay.
Hell
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
I really do love that the dad got to redeem himself.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, like...
just slightly, but it's still somewhat of a redemption. It, whatever, it's fucking better than tampons.
Okay.
Redemption
but,
oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
We are. Mm. But if you look back at, like, the beginning of ACOTAR with the Beauty and the Beast vibe...
Yeah.
And the dad was fucking stupid.
Right. The dad doesn't really have that shining moment, but they give it to him in this one. Mm-hmm. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. I
right
was kind of like, this, it was a lot. It was a lot going on all at the end. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. It was like all these ships come in and all these people come in and Lucien shows up and like the dad shows up and like everyone shows up. Like,
everybody's here. Everybody got their invitation.
Well, it's the culmination. Yeah. Oh my god, everyone came to my party.
Everyone showed up.
I'm so surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, it felt like that a lot.
Yeah.
But it did make the ending what it was. But I was like, did we need all of them to show up?
I have a sneaking suspicion that this was meant to be the last book.
Mm.
And
that
I
makes
believe,
sense.
I believe that Nesta became Nesta, Cassian, and the B characters, the side characters became so popular.
Yes.
And I think she got picked up for more books.
Yes.
That makes sense. I can see that.
Yeah.
I'm going to recuse myself from the least favorite part.
So, okay, wait, you don't have a least favorite part?
She doesn't
have a book. No, I mean, you just finished. Was there anything annoying?
I think probably for me, my least favorite part of this book as a surface level reader was all of the fighting and plot twists. There was a lot going on in this book, yes. And I found sometimes it was hard to keep up with who was on whose side, why people were at each other's throats, and what the point of any of it was. To be perfectly honest with you, like, there was, even within Rhysand's court, there was infighting, and a lot of the time I just got lost as to what is happening. And I get there needs to be tension and disagreements, but I feel like of all the books we've read, this one was the hardest to follow because there was a lot going on. But if it's supposed to be like the end book, the finale in a trilogy, it makes sense that there would be a lot going on. So for me, the least favorite part was getting lost in everything that was happening.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. Like your summary said, a lot. Boy, was there. So, but what about you guys? Like,
Heather?
Heather, what was yours?
I have a couple of least favorite parts, and I think one we've kind of already talked about. Mor and Feyre have a conversation about why Mor and Azriel can't be together. And Mor has this conversation where she tells Feyre, I prefer females. And for centuries, we're not talking decades, centuries, hundreds of years, she has known how Azriel feels about her, and she prefers females. And this is the problem, I think, maybe I have the writing of the story, not the story itself. The way she connects and reconnects with her friend Vivian, there's a lot there.
Yeah. Vivian who?
Yes, exactly. So,
no, I mean, I don't remember.
Oh,
no.
That was
Vivian who?
Celsius's wife.
Yes, she's the wife and a longtime friend of Mor, but she had lost touch with her. Like, they're fae. They are long-lived. Mm-hmm. So Mor is telling Feyre in secret, in absolute private, you can't tell anyone's secret, I prefer females. I can sleep with males. I can get pleasure with males. I prefer females. It was so last minute and so thrown in that it was, the way it was done was just gross. I didn't like it at all. The other thing that I didn't like was Tamlin and Jurian. Pick a fucking side. Are you good? Are you bad? Are you, what the fuck are you doing? When it comes to all-out war, which side are you picking?
Mm-hmm. You can't play the middle.
And even as a reader, you don't know until the very last. You have to pick a side.
Well, that's why I got so lost, because people kept changing their minds, and they went, Amarin all of a sudden was, like, even changing her mind at the end. I can't take this anymore. I don't know who's on what side.
Here we go. So here we go. On the wall. I'll pick a side for Tamlin. Bad guy. Bye.
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 Bye. All right. Bye, bitch.
Look at that big purple bloom right there.
Oh, screaming.
So, Tamlin plays the side. At the beginning, we're kind of like, oh, Feyre went back to the Spring Court and she's playing as an enemy. Like, she's a spy for the Night Court. Mm-hmm. Fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. She goes back to the Night Court. Spring Court's in shambles. But the Night Court shows up at the, like, group meeting. But then he, like, says all this nasty shit about her. I'm like, ugh. No matter what side you are on right now, you are a fucking dick.
He's a sore loser.
So he goes away again. He's a bad guy. But then suddenly, Jurian, the villain of the story, he's been mad with, like, I have to redeem myself. And I just... It was whiplash with those two. I could not decide. And it felt like they couldn't decide until the very last minute. Those were my, that was my least favorite part. It's like, you need to pick a side. You need to pick a lane. You need to stay in that lane. Mm-hmm. Because I cannot root for someone that can't decide where they want to go.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end, and you're all out war, I don't know who's on which side. I don't know anymore, and I don't care. I just want this war to end. Everyone to be happy and move on.
Yeah. I getcha.
That's my least favorite part.
What about you, Ashley?
Lucien having to bone Ianthe in that cave for some right or some bullshit because Tamlin didn't want to.
Why do we have to bone anybody for some, like, right? Why is that even part of the story?
I mean, yes, exactly. Garbage. But the fact that Tamlin is just like, well, I don't want to do this. I'm going to make my friend basically, essentially, like, be raped. Like, that's, I'm going to force him to have sex with someone because I don't want to. Like, that's disgusting. That's an abuse. I feel like that was a major abuse of their friendship because he claims to be his friend. Mm-hmm. You don't do that to your friend.
You shut that shit down. Yeah. Like, you don't give Ianthe the power to rape the males in your court.
Mm-hmm. Especially ones that are supposed to be your bestie and your second in command. That's really fucked up. That kind of, it differentiates Rhys and how he treats the members of his court and our boy Tampon and how he basically just shits on everyone in his. Mm-hmm. So, it, you know, I was just like, are you for real?
Yeah.
Are you serious? Mm-hmm. And you call yourself his friend?
Which that, is why...
That's fucked up.
I'm never sure where I settle on Tampon. Like,
I still don't like him.
Oh, I still
don't like him. Even, like,
in the end, I would like to...
When Rhysand is, like, dead, which this whole thing was a whole other thing that I just
spoilers!
Disliked. Sorry.
Go for it.
What?
Rhysand kind of dies, but that's okay. He's fine.
He only dies for a minute.
Like, for 5 seconds. Everything...
I can't believe you just spoiled something. Well, not like we've been spoiling the entire fucking book.
Hashtag. No, we hashtag spoiler. Hashtag spoiler alert. That whole part where, like, Pharah and Rhysand heal the cauldron, and then Rhysand dies, and then all of the other, like, High Fae give him this little, like, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let you shine. Like, you know, like, they just bloop, pierce my light. And then she's like, come back to me. And he's like, I'm back. Like, this whole plot line was so stupid.
You should have been filming that.
And, like, the fact that, like, he didn't get anybody's gifts. It's like, what the fuck was the point of this? God. That whole part was so stupid to me. And she's like, please. He's dying. Oh, yeah. Please. And
like,
he's
I'll
like,
do it for you, even though I, like,
whatever makes you happy.
So he's like, here, bloop. Here, bloop. There you go. He's just like a dick up till the end.
Die
like,
in a fire.
Come on, dude. Come on. Anyway,
you know what? Tampon can fuck all the way off.
Uh-huh.
True story.
So, okay.
Okay, anyway.
So. Again, the more Azriel thing, just leading him on for centuries.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And it's just, it's such a bad representation of a bisexual character, which I'm also very confused. I read this a really long time ago, but I was slightly confused. I remember reading it and being like, is she bisexual, or is she a lesbian and sleeping with men to cover the fact that she's a lesbian? Or is she just bisexual? I don't get it. To me, and it might have been more clear, obviously, back in September, but, like, now, like, thinking back on it, I'm like, are you really one of the few queer characters? They're an asshole. Really.
The way it came across was, she was a lesbian, and she was sleeping with men because it was, like, a cover. People expected her, like, to be with men. I mean, she knew that she did not have a future with Azriel.
And she should have said something. He never would have said anything.
No, she also knew how he felt about her. And I don't like that.
I don't like that that you made one of the very few queer characters that, you know, you threw in.
At the last minute. Yeah. The third book into a series.
As an afterthought.
Yes.
And they're an asshole because they've been leading someone else on for centuries.
But then she tells Pharah in, like, a secret kind of, like, I'm not telling anyone this kind of mode. Like, I prefer females, and I know Azriel has feelings for me, but I'm never going to reciprocate them. And honestly, I was attracted to you for a while. Like, it just felt so convenient and so token.
Yeah.
It felt like...
Yeah.
We're the third book into a fantasy series. We don't have any gay characters yet. Like, let's throw some in. That's what felt like.
Yeah, I really didn't care for that. Also, fuck Ianthe. How dare you kill the cereal, you fucking fuck!
The cereal.
Oh!
Another one of my favorite characters.
You know what? Fuck her. Fuck Ianthe. I'm glad she said, fuck you, bye.
Dinner.
Dinner. That was so good.
Hope it was painful. Bye, bitch. All right. Speaking of, what the fuck moment? This entire recording. Here we go.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
All of it.
I got nothing.
You know,
nothing. I got no book report. You guys, I was looking over your shoulders and you both have some really great what the fuck. So I agree with everything you've written down. Go for it.
All right. Heather.
She does not disagree.
Heather, you're up.
My first what the fuck moment is more Sully being a lesbian or bi or pan. Mm-hmm. And she feels like a queer token, like thrown into the story at the last minute just to be in there. And I feel like we've talked about that. My other ones are related to when the Fae and the humans, and they're having the war at the end, where Miriam and Draken, they come in suddenly with Queen Vasa and Lucien and Pharaoh's dad and the human armies. They all show up at the final moment of the war, like, to just completely save the day. It felt too little, too late. And, like, their dad's here to save the day. Like, where has he been for, like, all of these books? Like, where have you been, sir? You had your foot destroyed, and suddenly you're not able to take care of your daughters. Your daughters have taken care of you for all this time. But, oh, I'm going to be a good dad now, and I'm going to save you. So those were my what-the-fuck moments. Like, why do you get to be the hero of the story at the very last minute? Yeah. I didn't like that a lot.
I mean, he did die.
But he's also the only one that died. Really died. Like, Rhys died.
That's
like,
true.
Came back.
Well, Rhys and Amren died. Well.
But they came back. They came back. So, that's the thing. It's like, and that's a whole other part of the book report. People that died, like, too many of them lived.
Yeah.
This is true.
We're gonna get back to that, all I right. think.
It's not quite. It's like the complete opposite of Game of Thrones, where, like, Game of Thrones, like, every book,
killed,
like,
everybody.
Two beloved characters. Like, not two, but several beloved characters will die almost every single book, whereas this book does not kill any beloved characters at all.
Actually, what was your what-the-fuck moment?
The dad showing up with the ships. I was like, oh, okay. Amren coming back. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm happy she came back, but at the same time, it's kind of like what you were saying, the stakes have to be high.
Yeah.
It's not high stakes if you just assume everyone's just going to keep coming back. It doesn't work well. Oh, yeah, and then the whole Moors coming out after centuries to Feyre, of all people, that she's known for, like, a couple years? Yeah. Not even.
Which in Fae time is what, like 30 minutes?
I know. It's like you've known Feyre for 30
long.
Minutes.
Yeah.
I feel like realistically she would have come out to like Asriel or Rhys. Not some chick she's known for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm. But if she couldn't come out to Asriel or Cassian for reasons, and she were going to come out to Feyre, I don't feel like, hey, we have like 5 minutes of downtime between this battle. Like, maybe this isn't the time to, like, unleash your darkest secret to, like, your new BFF.
I did not appreciate how that was handled at all. And just, not only that, the fact that, okay, Moore is bisexual, cool, made her out to be an asshole, and then the only other, like, main bisexual character, what's his name?
Tom Heimlich, but that's not right. Hemlin, human, Hemlin. It starts with an H, doesn't it? It's not Henry, but it's something weird with an H.
There was another High Lord that was bisexual, and then of course, he and Moore have to have sex with each other, and then it talks about how promiscuous he is.
Hillian. The sun god.
Oh, there you go.
So it's like, okay, the only out in the open, not like necessarily out, but the queer characters that you've shown any kind of more than brief passing of attention to, you've made one out to be kind of an asshole, and then you've made the other out to be extremely promiscuous.
Yeah.
And that is the biggest, just most obnoxious stereotype, is that, oh, they're bisexual, they're gonna sleep with everybody. blah, blah, blah. They're going to cheat on you. They swing both ways. Oh, that's too much competition. Da, 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 da. You hear that shit all the fucking time. And then to read that. I'm not even bisexual. I'm a cis white lady. And it fucking pissed me off. I was like, are you kidding? Really? This again? It's 20. I mean, I don't know when this book was published. It's like, we're in the 2000s. Tell me.
She's got the book.
I'm going to tell you.
She's turning pages. She's going to tell you.
2017.
It's 2017 when this book was published. And you're going to keep perpetuating this fucking bullshit? Mm-hmm. No, what the fuck? Red flags.
Heather, what are your red flags?
Lisa's just here to mediate and like, I'm chill.
The comic relief.
Yes.
They're getting into the heavy, and I'm just here for giggles. Finished it this morning. I did not have time to really sit down and think about it. I mean, there were obviously a lot of red flags. And I looked at Heather's paper earlier, and she nailed it. So... And yours, I'm looking at your own. Creepy. And okay, yeah, Ashley's good too. So I'm just going to two.
Okay, so I have a couple. We've talked about it a little bit, like Moore's coming out as lesbian, bi, pan, whatever she is, and using guys to distract herself. She's already Azrael. Tamara's rage issues. Like, what the fuck? It's like every time he throws a tantrum, he destroys rooms. Like, literally splits a castle in half. It's ridiculous.
How after hundreds of years do they not have therapists in Prithian?
We've talked about this like in each book.
Can they get a therapist? Even like the wall's gone, bring a human therapist over. Like, are there no therapists anywhere? Can we talk about your
feelings right now, sir?
Seriously.
So Baron's wife, Lucien's supposed father, who obviously is not his father because reasons. So Baron's wife is described as the mother of his brood. No, that is not okay. I see you, misogyny. I wave the red flag at you. The other one that I had was Tamlin and his bullshit possession of Feyre. Literally, yeah, there's reasons and there's layers and whatever. But at the beginning of the story, like, as far as we know, he has sold out the Spring Court to steal back a human woman that belongs to him. Mm-hmm. No. Not okay. Mm-hmm. Not okay at all.
We obviously know I'm not a fan of Tampon.
Don't like him.
At this point. I do. So it's like, fuck this guy. She doesn't want him anymore. Go away. Leave her alone. But from his perspective, he thinks that Rhys has control over her. Like, to him, there was no connection with Rhys and Feyre. So she's kidnapped. So to him, she wants to come back and she's just saying no because Rhys has some type of, like, hold on her, like, holding something over her head, so she feels like she can't come back. Mm-hmm. So that made a lot of sense, but still, fuck you. Go away. Like, she's not your mate, dude. Let it go. Stop being an immature little jackass.
But he also says something about how there have been couples that when they marry and they fall in love, and like the mating bond snaps into place. That's after true. That.
It does sometimes snap into place.
So Vivian in like the third book with her like High Lord, that's what happens. Like they were friends, he got captured by Amarantha, and she was raising his army and like keeping his people in line. The mating bond snapped into place for them after they were married. Yeah. So there is that later in the story.
Also, he let her vomit after nightmares in the middle of the night, and he's just gonna be like, oh, I'm just asleep. Bitch!
He is the worst.
Moving on! Tamlin sucks. Okay.
More red flags. Ashley, do you have any other red flags?
I do.
No!
In fact, I definitely do.
Girl, shut the head
up.
Tell us.
Of course I have more to bitch about. Okay,
bitch it out.
All right. Speaking of Tampon.
Yeah.
When a guy constantly you're broken up. Mm-hmm. You've moved on. Mm-hmm. You're with someone else. And your ex just constantly feels the need to bring up your former sex life.
Ugh.
Sir,
yes.
Please stop embarrassing yourself.
You lost. Let it go.
It was so cringe for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is just fucking embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Ew.
But there are people out there like that.
And it's like, oh, well, I fucked her first. Yeah, like, it was very, yeah, it was just like, okay. Yeah. All right.
Such a sore loser.
Why are you bringing up her sex life that you are no longer involved in at all? Yeah.
And, like, all these other people, it's not even, like, it's him and Rhysand. Like, there's all these other people there.
He's trying to embarrass her, and it's also, it's just so disrespectful, because you are in front of these other high lords and ladies and whatnot, and you're trying to undermine her power. You're trying to undermine her authority by going back to base shit of, like, oh, yeah, well, I fucked her first, and obviously I was so good at it because she made noises. Ugh. It's just like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you, fucking 15?
Yes.
Tampon's embarrassing. Okay, and then it's Dingle and Dongle. I can't remember their names. Why? Why is it always creepy, incestuous twins? Mm-hmm. Why does the incest come in pairs?
It's Dacton and Brenna.
Yeah. It's the ones that Feyre sent the bog after because they were going after the cult humans and shit.
Fucked up, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so creepy and weird.
It's always twins. Yeah. And I know maybe they're playing it's off that twin like
good
bond.
Or good and evil.
Or they're like, trying to play off that twin bond maybe. And then it just like takes it a step further. Please stop. This isn't the only book that I've read it in. Lisa, you touched on this earlier. Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
Yes, there is. And I talked about it earlier. I don't know why I'm
British now.
Anyway, did you hop across the pond?
It's almost 10. I'm about to turn into a toad.
A British toad.
British toad.
British toad.
Here we go.
Yes, I did. I learned something. I talked about this earlier. No, be nice to people. Leave the world better. That's what it is. Be nice to people and leave the world a better place than you found it. I stand by that. I think that is a good takeaway from this book. Just everybody, like, listen.
Snaps for Lisa.
Be nice.
Thank you. Snaps for Lisa.
Just be nice to everyone and leave this place a better place. I don't know what happens to us after we die and we pass on, but I firmly believe that our legacy can live on, and like the purpose is to be nice to people, so people are nice to people who are nice to people who are nice to people, so that you leave behind kindness.
That pay it forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really do believe in just being nice, and the people you leave behind will be nice to other people, and like we just be kind. That's my takeaway. And then what about you? What did you learn?
So it was, they called it the Nephil philosophy, based on the
character. That was a good story.
She had her moment. I loved it. Mm-hmm. So our greatest weakness can sometimes be our biggest strength.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that. It's it's true. For all the reasons, like, you might be sure that you are weak in something. You might be scared or petrified of doing something. Mm-hmm. But it could also be, like, the shining moment that you have. It could be the thing that you have that no one else has. Mm-hmm. And I like that a lot.
And I like that it wasn't just this quote thrown in of, like, your greatest weakness. There was a whole story to support it. This whole, not mythology, because it happened. But like, and that people heard of it and they adapted it, and that's how they bring people up, and you know, it carries through. I like that it wasn't a throwaway quote. There was like a thing that actually happened that demonstrated it, and then other characters in the book latched onto that and shared it and based their strategies or whatever on that.
Because she had the weak wing, and it was in a moment of, you know, it was a fight or flight moment. Mm-hmm. And instead of like getting out of there, like she saved the person that was important to her by flying out on her little wing. It's like, it's your strength, but everyone in your life has looked down on you for this, and they've all wiped you off. Like, she's useless. She'll never be good in battle. Like, what is she even here for? And then she saves the person. So it's like, everyone has written you off. You're done. You're broken. But you can shine in that moment. And I really liked that a lot.
Ashley, what about you? What did you learn from this book that you think could apply to daily life?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Go to therapy.
Yes.
Please do it. Okay.
Everyone needs therapy.
And often.
Yeah. Hot take. Hot take.
Hot take. All right.
We need like jingles for things. Hot take. It's the hot take. How hot is it? It's scorching. All right.
All right.
Spicy snippet.
Spicy snippet.
Let's get back on track a little bit.
Spicy snippet. Lisa, go.
All right. Well, as one who did not do her book report yes. and who is pulling this out of her ass at this very moment.
You do yes. very well with that, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Yeah. I just hear everything you guys say. Okay. I would like a book about the backstory of the Suriel or the Bone Carver or the Weaver or even more about Amarin. Yeah. Like, one of these, I'm excited to read about Nessa and Cassian, but other than that, if she has this contract to write other books, I would like to know about the backstory of one of these characters and the world that they came from. That's my hot take. We're dying. Heather said she has no hot take.
Oh, I have a hot take, bitch. Right, I'll die and I'll come back and tell you as a ghost. What's okay, so my hot take is, it isn't believable that everyone survived this damn war. Sure, we readers don't want our favorites to die, but come on. No way.
That's fair.
They kill Rhys, he comes back. They kill Amarin, she comes back. No fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair, because even, like, I thought at one point Cassian was dead.
For sure.
Like, I really thought, like, he was so wiped out. I'm like, oh. But then I was like, well, you know, the bad thing is when you write more books and you come to the series later, you're like, well, I know he lives because there's a whole book. But yeah. if that book had not come out, I would have thought for sure Cassian
oh, yeah.
was, like, on yes. his way out the door at one point. And even Azrael, too.
Yeah.
Like, so, Ashley, do you have any spicy snippets you would like to share on this book?
Absolutely. And Lisa already knows what they are because she's been looking at my paper.
I really did. I didn't read it. I promise. I looked, but the words aren't registering. It's
my handwriting is pretty bad.
No, your handwriting's lovely.
No, it's
pretty
bad. Yes. Nesta and Cassian carried this book on the backs of their shoulders. Whole ass book. Carried it. So that scene... We all know the scene.
The scene.
The scene.
Which scene?
The scene. Battlefield where they're about to die. Mm. Like, he's about to get killed. She's trying to pick him up and, like, drag him away.
Yep.
She can't. Mm-hmm. Nope. So then they literally, like, have this moment where she just kind of, like, holds him or something. So they're basically just like, there is a quote. He does have a quote. And it's something, basically, oh, okay, I guess we go together then. And my only regret is that we didn't have more time. Mm-hmm. So, like, they didn't have more time to get to know each other and fall in love and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And even knowing that they had a book, there was still a moment where I was just like, oh, this is... deep. This is emotional. Dark. This is like really emotional. Like, damn, I've never felt this way about Rhys and Feyre. Mm-hmm. But yeah, bottom line, Nesta and Cassian carried this shit. Mm-hmm. They had the most emotional scene. Mm-hmm. They had like the best side storyline. Mm-hmm. I found myself looking forward more to their interactions than Feyre and Rhys. I just kind of was like, meh. Whatever.
When Rhys died, I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
You knew he was gonna come back to life. It was like, yeah. She's all like, no. And I'm like, girl, he's coming back. Calm down. Yeah. It's fine. I don't care. Whatever.
And even though I knew Cassian was obviously, like, Cassian and Nesta weren't gonna die, it was still just like, oh, I wasn't expecting them to have, like, a very serious moment. Like, they're willing to die together. Mm-hmm. And she could have run off. Mm-hmm. She was fine. She could have just taken off and left him there. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. She was just like, all right, well, if you're going to go, I'm going to go too, I guess. And Elaine was still out there. She was going to let herself be taken out. And then Elaine's baby ass would have been wide open. Which is funny why Elaine's the one that, like, came in and stabbed that bitch.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
This is the big one.
This is the big one.
This is the ghost pepper snippet.
It's too hot. I need more water.
Tampon does not deserve a redemption arc. I'm not here for it. I don't like it. I don't want it. Mm-mm. Hate to see it.
Get rid of it.
No more retcons. There can only be one.
Speed round. Like Rocky.
She's doing a speed bag.
Okay, I'm like Michael B. Jordan and Creed.
Lisa, who would you be besties with and why?
More. She's loyal and she's a badass. Next.
Okay. Heather.
I would be besties with the Bone Girl because it's first class loyalty, her fashion sense, because she is wearing Ianthe's circlet into battle. Ashley.
Nesta and Cassian, always. But Lucien. Because he really needs a friend right now.
Lucien could use a friend.
He could use a friend. Yeah. Could use a friend. Who do you want to throat punch and why? Lisa.
Tamlin and Ianthe because they suck. Heather.
Ianthe because obviously what she did to Lucien. Mm-hmm. And... oh, Grayson's. Grayson! Oh. Elaine's human, like, fiance. Oh,
Fuck that guy.
Throat punch.
Don't! But fuck that guy.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. Yes. No, like, his whole, like, screaming, like, at her thing. No, sir.
Are you fucking for real?
No.
You know, they should have just killed him.
Oh.
He could have died. I'd been okay with that.
Apparently, she's killing him. Not for a question.
We're just killing everybody.
Ashley, who would you throw a punch at? Why?
Ianthe actually beats out Tamlin.
No.
I mean, I feel like I've punched Tamlin several times at this point. We are on the third book.
True.
Maybe give him a little breather. Ianthe, I think I would just punch her to death.
At least you got what was coming.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for
that. Yeah.
Dinner!
Who would you want on your side in a fight and why? Lisa.
Everyone. The Surreal, the Bone Carver, the Weaver, the Braxius, Azriel, Cassian, Rassan, Morgan, Amren. Just give them all. That's my A squad. That's my dream team. Heather, go.
Going to repeat, Cassian, Azriel, Reese, Pharah, Amren, Moore, Braxis, Bonecarver, Weaver, the entire Illyrian army.
Yes.
Woo-woo.
Ashley.
It's actually a toss-up between the Weaver, the Bonecarver, Braxis.
I guess we should just pick this one.
Shock and awe.
I know.
I'm doing the monster mash over here. I can't decide. All right. Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiac signs based on vibe? Heather is on a potty break. All right, so. Okay, let's see. So in the past, speaking of castings, let's pull up who we've cast before. Let's see here. I think in the past, I have cast Tamlin as Alex Pettifer.
Mm-hmm.
Pharah as Samara Weaving.
Mm-hmm.
And Rhysand as, I cannot say that, Barak Osovit.
Mm-hmm.
He's Turkish.
Okay.
Lisa, you cast Tamlin as Timothy Chalamet.
I stand by it.
Pharah, you went with Alicia Vikander.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rhysand, our boy Ben Barnes.
Ben Barnes.
He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful.
He is a gorgeous man.
You actually cast Lucien as Chance Perdomo.
Which, it says the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but I don't remember what this kid looks like at all.
She's gotta look it up.
I don't remember. Let's see. Chance. Oh, that's Wes's. Oh, he is good looking. He can still be Lucien. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Who was he in? He was Ambrose.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And then astrological signs.
Okay.
You didn't have any, but for Pharah, I went with Aquarius for her. She's super creative. And then Rhysand, I did Scorpio.
Okay,
so we've done our casting and astrological signs. Okay. Heather is taking a moment. Season 3, gonna change things up a bit. For the lead characters, Rhysand, Pharah, and any others you really want to do, I guess. What reality show would these characters thrive on?
First of all, I would put Rhysand, Pharah, and Tamlin all on Survivor. What happens. Also, I would put Tamlin on The Mole.
I haven't seen that one.
Either, but there's a lot of, like, lying and wheeling and dealing, and I feel like he did quite a bit of that, playing both sides. Mm-hmm. I would put Rassand on the circle, because you're trying to get people to like you. And Feyre, I don't know what I'd put her on, honestly. Like, okay, I stand by all of them on Survivor. Tamlin on the mole, Rassand on the circle.
Okay, Heather.
Heather's looking up reality shows.
Ah! Are you not familiar?
I would like to play the fifth on the basis of I don't watch reality TV.
That's fair.
What K-dramas would you put them on?
None.
Ashley, what about you? What reality shows would you put them on?
Yeah, you.
I agree with the circle. Even though I haven't seen it, I've heard of the concept. Mm-hmm. I agree with that for Reese, the circle. I would put Feyre on Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Ooh.
One of those. Ooh. Tamlin would be on the Real World. And he would just be the entitled preppy asshole that everyone in the house hates.
Okay. That's fair.
That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodreads reviews here. We're gonna go. Let's go high to low.
Yay!
All right.
Let's just have a vicious end.
Okay, let's.
All right.
Savage. Let's do it.
Lindsay gave it 5 stars. This made my Grinch heart grow 3 sizes.
Aw. That's sweet.
I mean, it had some good moments.
It did.
Lexi gave it 5 stars. Welcome to a court of pain and feels.
Oy.
That's fair. That's accurate. Fair.
That is very accurate. I like that. Natasha gave it 4 stars. Predictable feelings. All caps. Not as good as Acomath.
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 Okay, the acronyms are bad.
Acatar is better. It sounds like Reptar from Rugrats.
Acomath. Yeah. War.
Oh, all right. Acomath's the worst. I mean, he was like, did you read that sick novel, Acomath?
Acomath. No, it was Acomath. All right,
whatever. All right. Okay, keep going.
All right, and then they continue with, wished it wasn't so predictable, but still felt all the feels. Satisfying end to Face and. Mm-hmm. I guess that's their couple name.
Oh, end to Face and.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Because technically, like, it is their end, because the next book is going to focus on Cassian and Nesta. Tweebs gave it 4 stars, all caps. Holy mother of velvet softness.
Ew, I don't like that review.
That
not a fan. Velvet softness sounds very gentle. This was a very brutal novel.
Are we serial killers where we put them in pits and make them put the lotion on the skin, or they get the hose again?
I must have missed that chapter.
All right, Buffalo Bill. All right.
I'm feeling some vibes.
All right, next.
She gave it 3 stars. We'll hopefully be rereading the series this summer, and will then write up my thoughts. Your favorite? Acomath. Well,
I can do that again for effect.
Will always remain one of my all-time favorite books, but this one really disappointed me. I feel I'm beginning to lose all interest in the SJM books due to various issues I have with the constant heteronormativity of her worlds and genuine lack of diversity, or tokenization of it when it is included. I guess I'm just done. No, this is very similar to what we were talking about earlier.
I will say, this book review started off pretty weak and ended strong. Yeah. The fact that she wants to reread them, I don't understand. Why would you do this
again? If you're looking for something that maybe you missed in the first time, and like you come to the end of a book and like, oh, maybe I misread that.
Yeah.
But if you're already unhappy, why bother? Why put yourself through it?
Yeah.
Sarah gave it 3 stars. I like Nesta now. Who am I? Cry laughing emoji, clown emoji.
Okay, first of all, Nesta's the only one to be rooting for at this point.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Prag gave it 2 stars. And that's 6 hours of my life I'm never getting back. Wait.
Only 6 hours? Did you just start with the first part? Like,
did you just skip to the third part?
Seriously? There's
6 times 3. Yeah, no, that was a lot more than 6 hours of my life I gave you.
Maybe they sped read it or something. Or maybe they thought
part one was the whole thing?
I don't know.
I mean, that is the path that I went down originally.
Ams Reads gave it 2 stars. No. I deleted my old review because ick. What a mess, and I realized this book was actually bad.
Yeah.
TM.
TM? Trademark?
They trademarked their review.
Who you trademarking shit? Okay, you go on with yourself trademarking.
First of all, that's not how trademarks work.
Pretty sure you have to pay for that shit, don't you?
Second of all,
rude.
Alright. Okay. Okay, girl.
Well, buckle up. Buckle up, Heather.
This person has a lot to say.
Yes.
Wait, whoa. Are we going up to that one?
Stop it!
That's what she's looking at now.
Alright.
They got words.
Darren gave it 1 star. So, I feel like this book is going to go along the lines of this. Quote. We need to stop the evil thing or whatever. Oh my god, he's naked. I forgot about this. Wait, it gets worse. Okay. I forgot.
Naked.
Oh my god, he's naked. All caps. Enter me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh god. His rod was so big, like the biggest rod ever. Like, think of the biggest rod downstairs and times that by 10. Like that, what? All caps, big. And his... It says his ball were big, I think.
Maybe he only has one. He lost one in battle.
Maybe one didn't drop. You don't know.
Yeah, did you remember that from the book? I don't remember. I could have missed it.
I don't remember any ball descriptions for Reese.
No.
All right. Okay. They did mean plural, because right after that it says, like, so big, like beach balls. And his tongue was down there, and it was so in me, like the best way in me, like so good, like the best. And then his rod was in me, like all the way in, and the mountains were like
The mountains were like
trembling, like the biggest earthquake you've ever seen. Like way bigger than any other earthquake ever in the history of America. Did I mention he's the hottest fairy? Like, all caps, the hottest. Like, biggest muscles out of all the fairies. The end.
Did this person even read this fucking book?
Wait.
I don't believe they did, because it says they feel like this is how it's going to go.
Yes.
Not they know how it went. Because they did not read the book. They made this up.
They may have read, like,
the first 6 hours, yeah. Like, that guy? Maybe.
Or they're just assuming based off of, like, what they've heard on social media. All right, Heather, let loose.
I can't even, because what is that shit? That is more pornographic than everything I read in, like, 30 hours of listening to whatever the fuck this is.
Ack-a-war.
Like, that is more pornographic than anything described in the love scenes between your, like, leads.
I give Darren's review 1 star. As well.
I feel like
Darren's 1 star review gets 1 star for me.
Did you read the book or did you just watch the book talk?
Probably.
The book talk.
Wait.
All right. Last one.
Wrapping it up with Emma. 1 star. 202. That's the number of times that the word mate in any of its hellish forms is used in this book. All caps. 202.
Really fixated there.
I'm not mad at that.
Because no, I mean, it's fair. That's a fair point.
It's
absolutely
fair.
Big moment. How many and what kind of phallic symbols would you rate this book, Lisa?
I'm gonna give it...
As she looks at Heather's book report.
Someone's copying the homework, teacher.
Well, it's already been established that I'm a well-known cheater.
And your life of crime.
Shocking, I know. Regardless, I give it 4 whatever.
Beach balls.
4 beach balls. 2 matching sets.
Hard pass.
Alright. 4. I give it a 4.
Heather.
I went with 5 siphons. Even though there's problematic content aside, the world building, the story, the war, the emotions that are in this story are big and they're great.
Yeah.
It's not a perfect story.
No.
But, you know. I don't know that I need to read it again.
No.
To appreciate it and, like, delve into, like, the lore. But I would give it 5.
Okay.
Definitely would give it 5 siphons. Yeah. What about you, Ashley?
I'm going to go with 4 beach ball siphons. This second book was, like, straight romance, building Feyre and Rhysand's relationship, but this one actually had a lot more going on. There was a lot more plot, a lot more stuff going on, which I really enjoyed. And I really, everything leading up to and culminating in that battle was just really great, which is why I have a sneaking suspicion this was meant to be the end.
I think it was too, yeah.
And it should have been.
Yeah. Well, it's not because money, baby.
I know.
Cash cow! It is Heather's favorite time. It is the bi-weekly boner. Heather is very excited. She has provided us with a boner this week. Hit me. What is it?
Okay, so the novel is called Sister, Maiden, Monster by Lucy A. Snyder. It just came out a few weeks ago. It's a lot of story, but in one part of the story, one of the characters, she is a sex worker, and she goes to a Catholic priest, who, of course, has vows and such, and it's an end-of-the-world apocalypse, virus, world-ending kind of thing, so they have sex. Lots and lots of sex. And
casual.
Yeah, as one does before the world ends. She describes his penis as a kaiju of a cock, which kaiju would be monster.
Yeah.
Yes. So apparently, as a priest, he's hiding all the goods under the vestment. So,
unleashing the kaiju.
Yeah, kaiju of a cock. I thought I had heard it all, and then I read that.
That's a pretty good one.
Perfectly human.
Yeah.
We're not talking tentacles and ridges and things that we have maybe talked about before on the podcast.
It's pretty basic.
But apparently, huge.
Huge.
Monster of a cock.
Okay. All right. I mean, that just doesn't sound like a good time to me, but to each their own.
Yeah, no.
So, this is normally the part where I'd request some winged worm or fierce falcon descriptions from you all, but I have decided to switch it up. So from now on, every episode will have a Q&A section, and maybe even a poll. So, every week, the guest and I will pick a question for everyone to answer after listening, if you so choose.
I do have a question.
Yes.
Full of those tonight. So how Heather was saying that she found it very hard to believe that no one died, right? And George R.R. Martin and the Game of Thrones kills beloved characters.
He went there.
Everybody like it's nobody's business. So if you were writing this battle scene and you had to kill one important character for the sake of there's a good chance somebody beloved probably would have died, who would you have killed off?
Elaine.
Elaine. Dude, you are evil.
That's the first one that pops in my head because she's
I would kill Tamlin. What's the point?
Oh.
Get rid of that motherfucker.
I'm not even thinking of him.
But yeah, he's part of it.
He's like, obviously number one. Like, Tamlin.
Kill Tamlin.
Could go.
Elaine I would keep because she sees shit. So she could be helpful. Tamlin's not helpful.
I would feel
he
the only
stirs
reason.
The pot. Like, let's. We can do without him.
He's like an emotional teenage boy.
We don't need him.
I probably would have kept Amryn dead.
That's another one. She could. I made my peace with her.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I was okay like, I was if really she died sad. And didn't come back.
It's still really sad, but it's like, oh, okay, this is her big
she's
sacrifice.
The one. Yeah.
It makes it more meaningful. It makes the sacrifices of their lives more meaningful when they actually stay dead.
Yeah.
In this battle scene, in this scenario that we're living, all of them.
Yeah!
You said I was evil? You're killing everyone?
No, literally, they all die. Okay, Feyre, Rhys, Cassian, Azrael, Mor, Amryn, Braxis, the Weaver, the Bonecart, they are all literally front line. Okay.
Yeah.
They all fucking die. You're all on the front lines. You don't survive. Like, I'm sorry, but no.
Okay, so that's the question. And then we're also going to have a poll this week. And the poll is, who should Elaine end up with? Lucien or Azrael? So that is the poll. And if things go well and I get some responses, I will read them on the following episode.
Cool.
All right. We did it. Finally. We haven't discussed this yet, but Heather has far surpassed her follower goal for her Instagram, Musing Metzger.
Yay!
Okay, so what was your goal? I believe we said 75.
We did.
How many followers do you have?
172.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
I win. Woo! I win Instagram.
Hell yeah.
Sure.
So, you have 172.
Yes.
What's your new goal?
175.
Oh, no. Stop it.
200. All right.
Yep, 200. That's 200. It.
200 is a good goal. You're almost there.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? No. Oh, it's the beginning. Yeah, no. Let's do 300.
Oh, I thought it was for, like, until the next time you talk to her.
No.
The whole year.
Let's do 300. I think
this is Sparta. Go for it.
Yeah.
This is Sparta.
Okay, so new goal. Your original goal was 75, and now it's going to be 300 because you're at 172 right now. So that's awesome.
Okay.
Woo! Okay. Yeah. And that's musing_Metzger. Exciting. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, Shipwrecked by Olivia Dade.
And remember
to fix each other's crowns and to put the jig sketches down. Damn it.
Train.
And remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.
Oh my god, we made it!
Okay,
it
was
like 4 hours.
Look at this, but don't look at each other.
Don't look at me, don't look at you.
Guys, we made it! Season 3!
Woo! Okay. My neighbors are probably like, what the hell?
Toodles!
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.